Right now on VFN TV, there's been a terrorist attack outside the United Kingdom's Parliament just a few moments ago. We're going to be covering that and our border security. How secure are we? What are we talking about today on VFN TV right now?
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T.
So what Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence, and God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no, there's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year. Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
Got repaired as soon as I took
the... 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals. to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homes. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, "We are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, we begin today's program with a very sad note. There's been a terrorist attack in the United Kingdom right in front of the Parliament building. As a matter of fact, let's go there now.
We're just getting this video in to CNN, and I'm going to let it play out. This is video apparently of gunshots fired at Parliament. Watch this closely. Cedric, I'm gonna play it one more time. We're gonna cue it up from the beginning because you heard the barrage of gunshots right in the middle. I want to play it for you one more time. Listen carefully.
So you're looking at a lady. The tragedy is taking place in the United Kingdom, and our hearts go out to the victims. As a matter of fact, here is a lady on the scene describing what's taking place.
We're only crawling along the bridge. There was bodies, literally.
Must have been about 10
at
10
least
bodies.
10, yeah, 12 bodies, all in different
just lying
places.
In different places along the bridge.
Being shot, yeah.
This must be terrifying.
Yeah. It was horrendous, yeah. Absolutely horrendous. So
we had to just stay on the bus then until the driver could get off the
yeah,
bridge.
Yeah, he needed to get somewhere safe, so...
And then the emergency services were there.
Yeah, they came as well at the same time, yeah.
Thank goodness you were there together. You must have just...
Oh, there were three ladies from Mexico.
Young ladies from Mexico on the bus as well. And they were traumatised, absolutely traumatised, only young girls. It's horrendous.
This is a tragedy that's taking place. You're seeing, you know, vehicles running over folks, and it's like they're calling a terrorist attack, and this is our president standing up against radical Islamic terrorism. That's what you're seeing take place throughout the world. You're looking, this is a lady that was killed right in front of the Parliament. It makes me think about the prophetic word that was given about Guy Fawkes and what took place, because Guy Fawkes was somebody during years back that wanted to be able to, you know, bring a destruction to the Parliament. Well, you're seeing that mask everywhere, the Guy Fawkes mask with that mask with the mustache on. That's who that represents. And so this we need to pray for the citizens of the United Kingdom, pray for the victims, and just pray that you know, Britain will turn back to Christ, that they would turn back to a Christian nation, because they're predominantly beginning to be pushed towards an Islamic nation, and this is what's taking place right there. And it's tragedies you're seeing here, right here in front of the Parliament in the United Kingdom. Is a terrorist attack that just took place, and our hearts go out, you know, to the families, and our hearts just break about that. And that's why today we're talking specifically about, you know, why it's important to have borders, why it's important to have security, why it's actually important for our homeland security to be really protecting our borders and our president to stand up against radical jihadist terrorism. And it just has, we have to have that kind of leadership. When we get back from this break, we're going to find out what condition is our country in. We saw what just happened in the United Kingdom. And our president is going to be talking about the borders. President Trump, how we're doing for the borders. Also, Michael McCaul is going to be talking about, he's head of Homeland Security as he's speaking, and talking about what we're doing on our borders and how we're protecting, including how a prince from Saudi Arabia is speaking up for President Trump, saying, listen, we vet our people. You need to vet yours, too. Join us after the break.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, what are you going to do about it?
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us and in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. If you missed our first part of our program, you know, there's been a terrorist attack in United Kingdom right there in front of the parliament. Yeah. Just a tragedy. It makes us immediately want to be able to discuss, you know, what's the condition of our safety and our borders and what's going on. And Congressman Michael McCaul, he's going to take us to the borders and explain why it's so important. And now we understand why it's so important to have secure borders. Let's go there now.
The southern border of the United States runs almost 2,000 miles long. That is greater than the distance between Chicago and Mexico City. Knowing what or who is coming across our border keeps Americans safe. In the past, we've seen everything from the running of drugs and human trafficking to drug cartels and potential terrorists on our southern border. This hurts our economy and places Americans in greater danger.
The biggest problem is, quite frankly, we do not have operational control of any of our borders, actually.
But we have a lot of scary things try to come in this border. I spent 9 years as an undercover officer in the CIA, and I've been chasing Al-Qaeda, Lashkar-e-Taiba, groups like that. And we have an important threat on our southern border. It's the narco-trafficantes, the drug trafficking organizations. And they're making a lot of money here in the United States, and they're coming through our southern border and doing that. So that's one of the biggest threats that we need to be prepared to face.
The current state of our border security leaves the door wide open for more sinister individuals to make their way undetected into the United States. The Obama administration claims our borders are more secure than ever. But ask anyone from a border state and they will tell you this simply isn't true. Just this past year, the Border Patrol apprehended almost 500,000 individuals along our southern border. That's just who we've stopped. We have no way of telling how many people we didn't catch or what they brought with them.
One of the issues is making sure that we're able to move people from one sector to the next, depending on what the threat may be. Because in one day we may have a larger problem in one area than the next, and we need to have the freedom, and Border Patrol needs to have the freedom and the ability to move people as they see fit.
Well, I really think for whatever reason, a number of reasons, we just have not had the political will to be able to do what we need to do to secure our borders. And I'll tell you now, and I think this was one of the critical components of this last election, is achieving Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate. We are now going to demonstrate to the American people that we hear them, that we know what our responsibilities are, they can hold us accountable. We intend to have operational control of our borders. We intend to secure our borders.
It is time to put politics aside and fix this problem once and for all. Up front, the bill deals with additional fencing, additional roads, and greater capabilities, including technology and aviation assets. It will also fully fund the National Guard on the border. We are going to require independent border security experts to verify that the border is secure. This takes border security out of the hands of DHS and out of the hands of politicos. By ensuring that the security of our southern border is no longer subject to political games, we can guarantee our children and grandchildren and future generations know the safety and peace of mind that comes with a secure border. The time for border security is now.
It's so important, you know, understanding what's taking place with this terrorist attack that just took place at the United Kingdom in front of the parliament, and lives lost, and still measuring what the cost is right there. You know, how secure is our country? And I just thank God we have a president that's wanting to secure our borders, and for Congressman McCaul and what they're doing there. But remember, let's take you back just to a little glimpse, candidate Trump, when America was saying, listen, we feel unsafe, we want to be protected, and we want walls built on the southern borders. As a matter of fact, let's go back and take a look at how our current president wants to keep us safe. Take a look.
Number one, are you ready? Are you ready? We will build a great wall along the southern border. Mexico will pay for the wall. Remember. 100%. They don't know it yet, but they're going to pay for the wall. And they're great people and great leaders, but they're going to pay for the wall on day one.
So you're looking at that's the cry of the heart of America, saying we want to be protected. You're seeing what just took place at the United Kingdom in front of the parliament, and some of the prophetic words that we gave about Guy Fawkes and that some prophetic dreams that took place, and the organizers are organizing this under a dark movement that was going on. We're seeing it take place. And as soon as the president came into office, He's standing up for us. He went straight to the Department of Homeland Security, and he spoke to them and said, I'm going to fund you. I'm going to support you. You're going to be able to do your job. I'm going to give you more officers. And there's other folks that are saying, coming, listen, this is why he's doing to stop this kind of thing that just took place in the United Kingdom. That's why we need to support our president, support those that are standing up for our safety in our country. As a matter of fact, let's look at what he said when he first got into office, and he's talking just a few days ago, really, to the Department of Homeland Security and saying we need to secure it. Let's remember what our president said, President Donald Trump at Department of Homeland Security.
That's a great-looking group. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Very proud of you. Thank you. Wow. You love your job, don't you, huh? That's beautiful. That's so nice. Great. Great people. Thank you very much. First, I want to congratulate Secretary John Kelly and his wife, Kathleen. Where is Kathleen? She's here someplace. John brings the skills, the leadership, background, the experience, strength, and definitely that determination that you have to get the job done and to get it done correctly. He will deliver for you. He will deliver for the country. He will deliver for the American people like you've never seen before. Homeland Security is in the business of saving lives, and that mandate will guide our actions. The Department of Homeland Security has many, many different divisions. But one of the most important missions of DHS is its law enforcement mission. This is a law enforcement agency. But for too long, your officers and agents haven't been allowed to properly do their jobs. You know that, right? Do you know that? Absolutely. But that's all about to change. And I'm very happy about it, and you're very happy about it. From here on out, I'm asking all of you to enforce the laws of the United States of America. They will be enforced and enforced strongly. Because people are surprised to hear that we do not need new laws. We will work within the existing system and framework. We are going to restore the rule of law in the United States. Before we go any further, I want to recognize the ICE and Border Patrol officers in this room today and to honor their service, and not just because they unanimously endorsed me for president. That helps, but that's not the only reason. I also want to acknowledge two individuals in the audience who will play a very, very important role going forward. I'd like to recognize Brandon Judd, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, and Chris Crane, two friends of mine, president of National ICE Council. You guys are about to be very, very busy doing your job the way you want to do them. Where are they? Where are those guys? Thank you, fellas. Thank you very much. We're in the middle of a crisis on our southern border. The unprecedented surge of illegal migrants from Central America is harming both Mexico and the United States, and I believe the steps we will take, starting right now, will improve the safety in both of our countries. It's going to be very, very good for Mexico. A nation without borders is not a nation. Beginning today, the United States of America gets back control of its borders, gets back its borders. Thank you. I just signed two executive orders that will save thousands of lives, millions of jobs, and billions of dollars. These two orders are part of an immigration reform we outlined during the campaign. I want to emphasize that we will be working in partnership with our friends in Mexico to improve safety and economic opportunity on both sides of the border. I have deep admiration for the people of Mexico, and I greatly look forward to meeting again with the President of Mexico. We'll be doing that shortly. We will discuss close coordination on many, many important issues between our countries. This coordination includes the dismantling of cartels and keeping illegal weapons and cash from flowing out of America and into Mexico, out of our country, out of the United States, and it goes right into Mexico. They have to stop it. We have to stop it. We are going to save lives on both sides of the border. And we also understand that a strong and healthy economy in Mexico is very good for the United States. Very, very good. We want that to happen. By working together on a positive trade, safe borders, and economic cooperation, I truly believe we can enhance the relation between our two nations to a degree not seen before, certainly in a very, very long time. I think our relationship with Mexico is going to get better. Here's a brief summary of what actions are contained in my executive
orders. So you're looking
orders.
At the president saying, listen, we're going to fund you, we're going to support you, and
you're going to be able to do your job the way you want to do it.
That's how extreme, and you have the court system fighting our president's executive orders for extreme vetting, and that's his job. If you read the Constitution, the job of the president is to protect the borders, maintain the borders, and the safety of our people, and defend us from enemies foreign and domestic against our Constitution. And they're fighting it, and they're actually allowing things that just took place in the United Kingdom. They're fueling those kind of environments to cause that to potentially happen. When we get back from this break, you're going to hear a prince from Saudi Arabia stand up in defense of the president. A Muslim prince from Saudi Arabia is standing up in agreement and in partnership militarily and financially from Saudi Arabia, standing up in support of President Trump, saying, this is what we do. This is what America needs to do. But before we do that, listen, we have this offer for you. It's called Slip Sliding Away, The Battle Between the Light and the Dark. We want to be able to send this to you. It's a gift to you for your gift of any amount whatsoever on a monthly basis. That's what keeps us on the air. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out more details. But listen, it's so important right now for us to turn our light up. What the enemy's trying to do is create so much fear that you just go off into your house or your, quote, cave, unquote, and you turn on, you hide, and all of a sudden the light's gone and darkness takes over. But when you go out and begin to shine the light that God's put in you, children of the light is what he calls you, then all of a sudden the darkness goes away. But fear is a tactic of the devil, and he wants you to turn your light down. It's time for us to crank it up like never before. As a matter of fact, here's some details.
Offer 2029, Slip Sliding Away, The Battle Between Light and Darkness. There was a song by Simon and Garfunkel in 1975 that was called Slip Sliding Away. It spoke of the nearer that he got to his destination, the more he was slip sliding away. There is a battle going on that is between the light and the darkness. And if we're not aware of this or don't take it serious, we too can end up slip sliding into darkness, though we're near our destination and our breakthrough. Jesus is the light and came to bring us into the life that brings eternal life in him. Yet there are those who love the darkness, who are prophets of darkness, trying to draw those who walk in the light to their ways. This message gives you great insight and shows you, though we might have great plans to stay in the light, we still should remain humble, aware, and willing to walk away from those who love darkness. We should love them and hope for them, but when they've made their mind up to live in darkness, you'll find your relationship will be strained and eventually they'll walk away. You'll also learn that it's unwise to turn down your light to make others comfortable and how dangerous that is, as your light may end up going out. Grow in wisdom as children of the light and learn the importance and the meaning of walking in the light. We want to send this offer to you for a love gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us by mail at VFN TV at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2029, Slip Sliding Away, the battle between light and darkness.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You have to be very intentional to move from the front lines to the sidelines.
When your children leave the nest, your parenting role changes, as Michelle Howe explains on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
It's tough, especially, I think, for moms who are so emotionally driven to take care of their kids and to meet their kids' needs. And if your kid calls you or texts you and says, I didn't expect this bill, Mom, and I don't have enough money, and my credit card is already overdrawn. I mean, I remember going to my husband and saying, we need to help. Can we help now? And he said, well, let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. And I think that's a good balance between spouses. But again, you have to be really intentional and say, my job is not a frontline parent anymore. My job is a sideline parent. And a sideline parent, just as like on a football field, you kind of wait and you let your kids kind of try to figure it out themselves.
More encouragement from Michelle Howe about parenting your adult child at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
You know, apologetics answering questions. What are the people are not even asking the questions? And many cultures have come to that point in the East where the questions have not asked. Demagogically, they have been drowned out, but they couldn't ultimately suppress it. So the East is always incurably religious and spiritually minded. The West sort of hands full, pursuit, get into your car and come back to your home, live in your boxes and so on and be happy. So they have learned not to ask those questions. But you know what? Everybody makes moral pronouncements. Every culture makes moral pronouncements. And the best way for me to approach them is to ask them questions about their moral pronouncements. And the very honest ones will find there's a breaking point. The dishonest ones will find they're really escaping reality rather than facing it.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you. Mm-hmm. Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today. And it's amazing how your life you'll just have peace in your life. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. And children are abiding with the Lord. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. If you missed it, at the beginning of our program, we're talking about there's been this tragic terrorist attack in the United Kingdom, right there in front of the Parliament, in several different areas, actually, there, and just cars running over folks, knife-wielding folks. There were shots being fired. We don't know all the details and the context of that. But that's what we're talking about, border security. How secure is our country? And a president that stands up to make it secure is so, so important. So we have our president who signed an executive order, President Trump did, and it says the president's supposed to protect this, actually, in our Constitution.
That's his job to do.
It says in there, protect the borders, and he can choose any class of people he wants to say, right now, we don't feel comfortable with you coming. He wrote that executive order, and one court out in the West, just one judge or a couple of judges, they said it wasn't constitutional, which it is, And he put another executive order and a judge in Hawaii stopping it. And these let me tell you what these two or three judges are doing. They're bringing that into our country. That's what they're bringing in. They don't know it. They're blind, or they want to do it. I don't know. But either way, that's what's taking place. When they don't let our president and the ICE, you know, Border Patrol protect our borders, they're saying what's happening in the United Kingdom can happen in America. And believe me, for some strange reason, that's the path that they're going to. But listen, even Saudi Arabia. So the president wants extreme vetting. Extreme vetting, which means we want to know who you are before you come in. If we don't know who you are, you can't come in. That's a fair thing. You think about it. Do you just let anybody come into your house and your front door? You first want to look through the peephole, crack the door open a little
bit. Who are you? What's your name?
Who are you?
Why are you here?
They don't want that. They're saying, listen, just let anybody come in. They're wanting to destroy our country. That is a destroying spirit. And I know that Rick Joyner talked about, you know, Morningstar Ministries. Yeah. There being a destroying spirit that comes across the land. They're destroying their very own stuff.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that take place. But Saudi Arabia, Prince spokesperson, he's a prince in Saudi Arabia, is being interviewed on Fox. And he is coming and saying, listen, we tried to stand up and support America, and we put our military out there, and we want to put our money out there, but the former president, President Barack Obama, would not accept their support. But they're saying they want to stand militarily and financially with America to end what just took place in the United Kingdom, radical Islamic terrorism. As a matter of fact, let's go there right now.
Iraqi forces are making big gains in the fight against ISIS as commanders announce troops have taken nearly three quarters of West Mosul from the terror group. The U.S. envoy to counter ISIS says that any fighters left inside the city will die there. Brett McGurk making those comments as the coalition announced the group was now completely surrounded. President Trump, as you heard in John's piece, hosted a meeting with one of our strongest allies in the Middle East today. The president met with Saudi Arabia's Deputy Crown Prince at the White House. Joining me now to talk about today's meeting is Prince Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud, an advisor to the Deputy Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia and a member of the royal family. Your Highness, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I know you weren't in the meeting today, but you've talked about it and heard about it. What can you tell us about the meeting between the Deputy Crown Prince and the President?
Well, Brett, as I understand, it went very well. I think they got along very well personally on a personal level and discussed many important issues. And I think they found agreement on most of those. Prince Mohammed was very keen to come meet President Trump as early as possible to re-emphasize the importance of the relationship between the two countries and to reinvigorate the strategic long-standing partnership that we've had. We've been partners and allies for 50 years. We've worked very well together. Saudi Arabia has been a stable and reliable partner for the United States for that time. And I think Prince Mohammed was keen to make sure that we can move into the 21st century together in a very positive and mutually beneficial way.
As you know, candidate Trump did not shy away from saying what had to be done with Gulf states, especially paying their fair share for protection or going after ISIS, something he reiterated after getting elected. Here he was in December talking about it.
When I look at what's going on in Syria, it's so sad. It's so sad. And we've got to help people. And we have the Gulf states. They have nothing but money. We don't have money. We owe $20 trillion. I will get the Gulf states to give us lots of money, and we'll build and help build safe zones in Syria so people can have a chance.
So what about that? Safe zones in Syria and you all helping to pay the bill?
Yeah, well, I mean, Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS in Syria, in Iraq, across the region, not just financially, but the Saudi government offered in the Obama administration's time to send its troops into Syria to fight ISIS. That was not met with enthusiasm by the Obama administration. I think that offer remains on the table, and I'm sure the Saudi government is more than ready to support the U.S. in eradicating ISIS. But as I said, not just financially, but actually with its own troops and with its own people.
Interesting. So do you think that plan is getting to fruition, that the Secretary of Defense has kind of worked on, the president talking about it, and is safe zones inside Syria a part of that?
I mean, I don't know if safe zones specifically were discussed today, but I know that Saudi Arabia is very keen that the fight against ISIS doesn't just involve eradicating it today, but making sure that the ground that helped it come to fruition in Syria and in Iraq doesn't exist in the future. So we have to make sure that the people in Syria and the people in Iraq that are liberated from ISIS can live peacefully, can live in harmony. And that, I think, involves in Syria specifically protecting them from the Syrian regime and from its Iranian allies.
This is so exciting. I mean, this story was hid for so long. This just happened.
Yeah.
This prince is a representative, and he's speaking on behalf of Saudi Arabia. And, of course, the king, he just became king recently because the previous king had passed away. But they're saying, we wanted to support America financially. We wanted to support the removal of ISIS and put our military troops behind that. So while you were out there fighting, you know, as a Marine for us, that, of course, at that time you weren't under that president, mm-hmm. but the fact is, while other Marines were fighting out there, they were holding back that kind of support.
Yeah, they had the resources that they weren't accepting, and it's just...
Yeah.
That's a horrible thing, because when we recognize the fact that our sons and daughters are over there,
yes.
and we've got willing parties to say, hey, we're not only going to give you funding, we want to give you military to support and remove this terrorist act, it's just... It's good to recognize that it's now being accepted, and it's
right.
now saying, hey, we receive that invitation.
And it's a Muslim nation. It's a Muslim nation saying, you know, that, as a matter of fact, you know, our president wants extreme vetting. Everybody wants, you want extreme vetting for somebody coming in your house,
yeah.
coming into your business. When you hire somebody, you make them fill out an application. Who are you? Do you have a work history? I mean, it's just normal stuff.
Checking their resources.
And especially when you're coming from another nation and people running around like they just did in the United Kingdom, you know, stabbing and hitting people uh-huh. with cars and reportedly shots being fired and don't know who shot those shots, but understanding that just tragedy took place, we can't let people that want to hurt American people in. They don't love our values, they don't love our country, then they don't need to be in our country. They need to be somewhere else. But people, let everybody come who wants to honor our values and not harm you and not hurt you. I mean, that's the way it should be. But so extreme vetting, we have people in the country and media talking about our president saying a negative thing about extreme vetting. Well, Saudi Arabia supports extreme vetting. They say they even do extreme vetting.
Yeah.
And they say it has nothing to do, and they believe the president when he said it has nothing to do about a Muslim ban. This is specifically about radical jihadist terrorism. As a matter of fact, take a look.
As the U.S. deals with what the president calls extreme vetting and institutes this travel ban of six nations, primarily Muslim nations, that they've said, the administration says, has trouble with their visas over there coming here and is dangerous. You're not on that list, but your thoughts about this and what it means for the U.S.?
Well, the Trump administration has described it as a ban not directed against Muslims. I think the Saudi government takes them at their word. My understanding is Prince Mohammed did discuss the matter with the president today, and President Trump reemphasized the fact that it was not directed at Muslims as a religion, but at countries in which the vetting procedure is just not there to allow for safely understanding who is coming to the U.S. and things like that. And look, Saudi Arabia has very stringent standards to who it allows into its country. So I think we understand completely where the president is coming from in that regard, and as long as he assures us and assures the world that it's not something directed at any one religion, I think it's fair enough for the U.S. to make sure that its security is protected.
That's so important. He's saying very specifically, that's what you need to do to be able to protect your country. That's what we do in Saudi Arabia.
We support the fact that he's doing it too.
And you think about it. So you have a prince from Saudi Arabia who is a spokesperson for the king saying, this is what we do in our country. We think it's not what they're saying. It's not a Muslim ban. It's against terrorism that's going on. And we think we support him in this, which means it's revealing all the lies that many people are saying. It's not true what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You have a president who's saying, I'm for the safety of you, say for our neighbors,
yeah.
and to support our troops, and to seal our borders up, and to be in alliance with people who want to defeat radical jihadist terrorism, even if it's Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well, it really highlights how, you know, when you look at the last 8 years, just like we talked about in a previous program, it's just how far we've gotten away from the original intent of the Constitution, the original
yeah.
intent of what a president was really supposed to walk out his role of supporting the Constitution, supporting our borders. This is normal,
yeah.
but we've gotten so far away from it, we think it's extreme. It's just like,
right.
no, that's originally how it was supposed
yeah.
to be done.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, you got to catch this. We have somebody from Guatemala who's speaking to the immigrants in our own nation. And she's saying, listen, the reason why you fled Guatemala, right, is because you didn't like what was going on here. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to America and you're demanding the very thing you fled from. You have to understand, if you went to America, you're coming to the land where there's free, you got a free chance to be able to succeed, get your education, work hard. But that's why it's successful. You can't bring what happened in Guatemala to take it down.
Yeah.
And but this is actually coming from somebody from Guatemala who's speaking to the people who came to our country. He says, listen, be American. You came to America, be American. It's a great country, greatest country in the world, she says. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 90% of boys and 70% of girls are exposed to pornography online? Meanwhile, 71% of kids say that they're hiding internet activity from their parents. In 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor is one spouse's continued use of inappropriate content online. What are you doing to protect your family online? Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability monitors how the internet is used on your family's mobile devices and their computers. Each web page visited is rated similar to TV shows or video games, like T for teen or M for matures. And as a parent, you can receive weekly reports for your kids. Plus, you can invite your friends to receive reports for your internet activity, which enables you to enjoy the benefits of accountability and protection online as well. Sign up today.
The church needs to be leading the way in this conversation.
Where is the church?
The church is totally silent about race. We are ourselves dysfunctional right. in our ability. We're family, but we're a dysfunctional family because we cannot talk about the elephant in the middle of the room.
Right.
And until we do, then the people in the street are taking up the conversation. And I think that they are God's judgment on a silent church.
Oh.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. If you missed the early part of our program, this terrorist attack that just took place in the United Kingdom, our hearts go out to them, pray for them. But it helps us realize we have to have strong borders, and we're seeing that. But think about this. Imagine someone who had an oppressive government, socialistic government that crashed and didn't work, and so people fled it, and they left it, and they wanted to come to a land of hope and a land of opportunity called America. But when they get to America, there's people trying to convince them to be like the country they came from. Now, we have somebody from Guatemala who is speaking right now. Her name is Gloria Alvarez, and she's saying, trying to speak to the immigrants who came, legal immigrants that came to America, to say, don't vote for what you fled from. As a matter of fact, let's join her now.
I live in Guatemala. I work throughout Latin America. And I want to speak to the millions of fortunate Hispanic immigrants living in the United States, legally or not. I have a question for you. Why do you support the same policies in the U.S. that caused you to flee your home country? The policies I'm talking about are those that lead to a bigger and bigger central government. You know only too well that the more power the government has, the more corrupt it becomes. My home country, like most other nations in Central and South America, is very poor. 54% of the population lives in poverty, and 13% live in extreme poverty. Half of all children under 5 are chronically malnourished. Crippling government corruption is the norm. Opening a new business can take months, even years, because of a multitude of regulations that are designed to line the pockets of bureaucrats. So the cost is much too high for the average citizen. Quite simply, unless you're politically connected in Guatemala, you probably want to leave. And in the last 20 years, many Guatemalans have left. Or to put it more honestly, they fled. The fortunate ones reached the United States, the freest and wealthiest nation in human history. There are at least 1 million Guatemalans living in the U.S. Nearly every Mexican and Central and South American immigrant in the United States, whether they immigrated legally or illegally, moved or fled to the U.S. for the same reasons: economic opportunity and the freedom to shape their own lives. In short, you came to the United States to participate in what Americans call the American dream. But have you ever asked yourself, why is the United States so free, so much less corrupt, and so much more affluent than any Latin American country? The answer lies first and foremost in the unique American belief in limited government. Why? Because the smaller the government, the less the corruption. And the smaller the government, the more individual freedom and personal responsibility. And given those things, along with hard work and talent, you can accomplish your life's goals. So back to my question, why would you support policies that keep expanding the power of the government when they are the very policies that doom your home countries? Is it because you think that when Democrats offer you free stuff, it means they really care about you? Do you think that when Republicans talk about enforcing immigration laws, it means they are going to send you back? Let's be honest. You didn't come here for free stuff. You came for the economic opportunity that allows you to work and earn. And of course, a nation has an obligation to enforce its borders. Certainly, every country in Central and South America does. In fact, much more so than the US. Perhaps you believe that your home country is poor not because of failed socialism and corrupt big government, but because of issues unrelated to ideology. Not enough natural resources, imperialism, and so on. Or worse, you believe that the US has gotten rich on the backs of poor nations. But these narratives are false. There are many nations blessed with abundant natural resources that are poor. And they are poor overwhelmingly because of corrupt governments and policies that destroy incentives to produce. Look at Venezuela, which has vast oil and mineral reserves, but has shortages of every basic necessity. Why? Because of socialist policies, because of those same deceiving politicians who promise to fight for the people and give you free stuff. And you're going to fall for these lies again in your adopted country? Do you think by electing politicians who will fight for the people, fight for social justice, and raise taxes on the 1% who are exploiting the wealth of the 99% that you will get ahead? In other words, will you support the same policies and vote for the same types of politicians here who made such a mess back home? The United States became wealthy because its government stayed out of the way of its citizens. The more power you give to the government, the less power you have to control your own life. Prosperity and opportunity diminish as government grows. So why did you, like so many of my fellow Guatemalans, come to the US? Because your society was broken. You chose to make a new life in the United States. You could have gone to another Latin American country with a similar culture and the same language as your home country, but you didn't, because the United States is different. Please, help keep it that way. I'm Gloria Alvarez, author of The Populist Deception for Prager University.
That's so powerful. But what better from somebody from another country who's living under a form of government that's different than America, that people are fleeing from, and Gloria saying, listen, you fled from that. Yeah. All the reasons why you didn't just leave, you fled from it. And now when you get to the place of opportunity, this is the thing about opportunity. This is really hurts a lot of folks. It requires effort.
That's right.
You're going to have to do
There's
something.
A cost.
I mean, you get a good job, you're going to have to show up at the job. You know, if you get selected for the NFL football team, you're going to have to go to practice. You're going to have to go learn the game. You got to physically get involved. What socialism, communism, and all these isms promise is you don't have to do anything. We'll take care of you. For some reason, it ends up under oppressive government, and people end up fleeing and running to another country that didn't do that. They kept the freedom. But freedom requires hard work. It requires soldiers to stand up, citizens to say, I'll be a soldier, and I'll defend the rights and the freedom of our Constitution and our people. It takes police officers to go to the street every day. It takes people willing to run for office and not sell us out by saying, oh, what's this Constitution come from? It's like, we are a republic, a representative government that we select people to represent us, but it's a government by the people and for the people. We have a lot of programs on the original tent of America, and I encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and watch them and listen to them, because we really have to re-educate ourselves. Nothing comes free. I mean, you have to participate. But it's a great thing. It's called freedom. And God has given us this. It's one nation under God. What Israel lost in the wilderness, when they demanded a king, not in the wilderness, but they demanded a king. They said, we don't want to just listen to the Lord through a prophet. And he says, okay, they wanted a king because everybody else had a king. They wanted a government like everybody else. And so God gave them the king. He said, but they were rejecting him. So they were one nation under God without a king. But God put a king, King David, and eventually a second one. Mm-hmm. But America's like that. Where now we are a nation, one nation under God. We can survive because our rights come from God, not from government. But we have to humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that, and we can keep our country. I think, you know, Gloria was dead on accurate. As a matter of fact, I want to pray with you right now. And if you are in America right now, we encourage you just to embrace this country, study its documents, and just get in and be a part of it. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Father God, for Gloria. We thank you, Father God, for our president standing up for our borders. But right, we just come to you right now and ask you to comfort those that lost loved ones, Lord, in the United Kingdom, God. The fear, everything's on lockdown, God, that you would just free them of this oppressive spirit that's been over the land for quite some time in the United Kingdom, God, that they would turn back to you as a nation, they would become a Christian nation, Father God, again, Lord. We ask you for that, Father God, Lord, and comfort those family members, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would remove every form of radical terrorist elements in America, that you would just purge our country of them, that they would, that they don't want to be here, Father God, that they would find some other place to be, Father God. Lord, we ask you to protect our officers, protect our military and our police officers, God. And I pray for a court system that will stand up and support our president when he tries to stand in support of our borders, God. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion might put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.